Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate it.
Nobody did that in Spain.
Although when we left you, the whole foundation of the area we'd been living in had been pulled out from under. The people turning out to see us and say goodbye and tears in their eyes and all for a while. And I see I've been gone quite a while. What's the date? 23rd of February. 23rd of February. That's right. Mary Sue looks younger, and you didn't really know, but she's the shortest-eared burro in the world. The shortest-eared burro in the world. Time you've carried huge bags of photographic equipment over Hill and Dale. John Lawrence offered to go down and carry my photographic equipment for me and so forth over the Hill and Dale. I said, oh, no, John, I said, this is mainly a matter of putting my feet on a rail and sweeping it all away, don't you think? And I'm not going to be very ambitious and so forth. Well, as soon as I got down there, I got ambitious. And there was nobody around but Mary Sue. And she gamely started packing all sorts of baggage over her shoulder. I kept noticing that the burros, you know, that the Spaniards used down there and so on, they were real recalcitrant. So she started getting recalcitrant. She wouldn't climb over a pile of rocks or something like that. So I started calling her a burro. And I noticed, oddly enough, that she was the shortest-eared burro in the whole world. She did very fine. The only thing that she did something wrong while she was gone, and that is to say she petted a cactus. Now, the Spaniards do something weird. They pull the spine. They use a cactus for decoration. They pull all the spines out with a pair of tweezers. Pretty wild, you know. Who'd ever think of doing that? So she saw one of these cactus, and she was going around looking at a lot of them. She didn't realize they hadn't gotten the little spines, apparently. So ever since, every few days, why, we pull another cactus splinter out of her hand. Little tiny things. But otherwise, we had a good time, and everything is fine. And it was cold in Spain, cool in Las Palmas, and there is no winter vacation area over on the European side, north of, I think, Liberia, or something like that. And you have to go quite a ways, but anyway, they're getting faster and faster aircraft, and I'm very, very close to not needing any aircraft anyway. Symptoms of this are turning up. Oh, we had a good time, and mainly I got a good long-distance look at everything. I did quite a bit of research, and I cracked level 7. I haven't run level 7. I haven't finished level 6 by an awful long ways. But all of a sudden, one fine day toward the end of vacation, I actually was on the boat coming home, and I was sitting there, and I took a look, and all of a sudden, I realized that although I hadn't run 6, I found out there was something over there. And what was that? And suddenly realized I was looking at level 7. And you talk about being right. My God, how right can you get? Level 7, of course, is the 8 dynamics. And we're right back at the beginning. It's the 8 dynamics. And you run them out. And that's level 7. And it isn't experiential track, and it's not very hard to do. In fact, it's so easy to do that I'm having a hard time not doing it. I know I've got to finish level 6, and when I discovered it and so forth, of course, my stomach too much, don't you see? I mean, it's like a little boy, and he's been wishing for a lollipop, you know, and somebody gives you an ice cream factory. But his stomach's turning cold, his eyes, you see, and somatics chasing all over the body and me and so forth while I was looking at this stuff. You know, it's just this, but that's me, you know, just try to climb that escalator vertical. And it's right there. And oddly enough, there isn't anything more to find out about. I got it all taped. I got its patterns and actions and everything else. And it only took me about 45 minutes when I'd finally seen it to see the whole thing. And it's not very complicated. You probably could run out level 7, I don't know, in 2 or 3 sessions. You see, to make myself more clear, it's the ancient question of, are we one or are we individuals? Well, I told you someday we'd have to solve that, so that's solved. And what's this stuff? So you see, there isn't anything much beyond this, because then I found out that you don't really have to destroy the mesh universe to get out of it. It's an individual proposition. It appears to be a collective proposition, but it's not. It's an individual proposition. And you can go ahead of it in time, back of it in time. You can go out of it. It can still be there. You don't have to destroy it. You don't have to destroy it for everybody. That was one of the things I was a little bit worried about. Oddly enough, if I ran out the mesh universe, would it still be here for anybody else? Seemed to me a bit of an old bird. Then you can run out the mesh universe and it's still there for other people. Yeah, you don't have to be in it, and you don't have to not be in it. You know? Well, that's level 7. And so the vacation wound up in a very high peak wind, in spite of it being cold and so forth. Well, the only thing that really happened that was of very great interest is I found that psychologists were wrong again. And although that isn't news, it's interesting to find a point. I've been told by them that animals don't commit suicide. And I've even thought myself that animals didn't commit suicide, and that's not true. Ran across an animal who committed suicide. And he was a bear, a big Alaskan brown bear that they had in a zoo down in Las Palmas. And the way this zoo got started was some interest. Columbus shoved off from Spain to discover the New World, and his first stop was the Canary Islands, which had already been conquered by Spain about a century or so before, or less than that. And he stopped off and spent a bit of time, and then, of course, after he discovered America, why, he called in at the Canary Islands again. And before he got back to Spain, at one of his way stop was the Canary Islands. So actually, he got to the Canary Islands before he got back to Spain. Well, the Canary Islands are very savvy. Go French on you. The kids are studying it. The Canary Islands are very knowing on the subject and very up to snuff on the subject of the discovery of the New World. And they probably know more about it than they do in Spain. The natives down there still sell models of Columbus's various ships. You know, these things die out slowly. They still carve and sell these little wooden models of the Nina and Pinta and Santa Maria. Anyway, there's a museum down there. There's Columbus House and so forth. Columbus slept here. Actually, that's what they tell you. And a lot of his relics. And when he came back from the New World, well, of course, he gave them some curios and so forth, and apparently started them a zoo. And the zoo has been going on ever since, but not the same animals. And one of these animals in the zoo, there was a pair of them, and actually one additional one in some other cage, with a pair of Kodiak bears, a smaller edition. And the Spaniards didn't know that bears hibernate. Although Kodiak doesn't do too much hibernation, he nevertheless is a hibernating animal, a bear, and they wouldn't let this old bear go to sleep. but kept turning him out to do his stuff for the visitors. Typical Spanish treatment of animals. You know, they're very rough on animals. And they kept turning this bear out and ripping him out of the cement cave that he would get curled up in. And he finally gotten very sick. And the temperature down there was running daytimes and so forth, about 60, 65 and so forth. And it's very cold for Spaniards. So he considered the bear was getting sick because it was cold weather. Well, naturally, this bear probably, before he saw the zoo and his breed and so forth, would consider 40, like London considers, a sweltering 77 in London today. I mean, that was a headline, a serious headline. Well, he'd consider 40 degrees, a sweltering 40 degrees, you see. And they kept turning him out, and he got sick. He started a protest on the basis of getting very sick, and he was a very sick bear, one of the sickest bears I've ever seen. He'd go into shivers and ice cold, and his legs wouldn't hold him up, and he'd get frozen in one spot, don't you see? And then all of a sudden, why, he'd get red hot and start panting and so forth, and he had fever and chills like which I never saw. He was weak as a cat. And the other bear in the cave was, of course, stark staring stir-crazy, and she'd attack him all the time, and life was just too grim. And he was about the least climbing bear that anybody ever heard. That breed doesn't climb anyhow. Iron cage came up to the top, in the middle, very high, very difficult to do anything with. A monkey would have had a hard time climbing it. And that bear, a few days later, climbed up to the top of the cage. All God knows how many pounds of him, in this horrible state of not being able to walk, he climbs up to the top of the cage, gets to the total top crown of the cage, and drops on the cement. That was the end of the bear. Most forthright case of suicide I think I ever saw in my life. Well, apparently animals do commit suicide, because he sure did. Only one of the few interesting stories I ran across. Of course, one runs across lots of interesting stories, but this, we saw the bear, and we knew the bear, and it happened while we were right there. Fantastic situation. Well, I see I've been gone an awful long time, because this student list is pretty long, and some of you have been here for quite a while, and so it will seem strange to you to be introduced at this particular moment. Nevertheless, I am going to introduce you one by one. Stand up and take a bow. Ron Pook. Cal Wigney. Val Wigney. Constance Fleming. Joe Gaines. Peter Roast. Wally Collis. And Barbara Poole. To whom I owe a considerable favor. She acted as another burl. Thank you, Barbara. Dorothy Knight. Lois Hunter. Walter Still. David Halliwell. And Nan Beardsley. And Arthur Francis. And last but not least, to retread, Leon Bosworth. Well, I see in calling that roll, most of the newcomers are in very good shape and everything is cheerful, and some of the others have some overts. So I will be watching that. Now, on the basis of I don't want to have missed a withhold, so I call to your attention the fact that I have already announced it, so I haven't missed it. All right, well, I'm very glad to see you here. And I'm glad to see the rest of you, and I'm glad to see that you're getting along the line. I noticed there have been a few separations. But you should be having a ball. I noticed you had an alter is in one of the processes. You were doing some listing you shouldn't have been doing on level 6. Yeah, there was some listing going on that shouldn't have been done, and it was slowing down your tone arm action. But that's all straight. And then you've got a wide open road on that particular level, because right now I'm just putting up the rack of GPM. But let me give you a little comment here, just as we go in passing here. R6EW and so forth is not about to fade from view. Let me call to your attention that when you bring a student in onto R6, he is for the first time on solo audit. Going to take him some time to get used to that, to run a meter, and about that time he learns why a meter works, and he learns all sorts of things about auditing, which is quite remarkable. It's a very educational action for him to undertake. In addition to that, he does several other things, in that he finds out why he has been operating the way he has been operating, and so forth, and he gets himself pretty well settled down. Now, at that point, if he cannot get tone arm action with R6EW, he has no business at the level, and he's auditing. He's back there, he's unable to talk to the auditor, don't you see, and he's got too many worries about his PTPs, and he's got this, and he's got hidden standards, and he's got the book of case remedies. And he has no business at the level. So, at that moment, if it's too grim and too gruesome, he can be taken off and jump through the book of case remedies and put in some kind of condition and run from the bottom up till back. He's back up there case-wise, you see. You can run any process on him. There is no process that is barred out. Just because he's been on R6EW does not spoil any lower-level process. You can run any of them. Now, therefore, it gives us, it's very important that we have this, it gives us this breathing spell. Because the truth of it is, if you ran him into actual GPMs, they would run just enough to get him into the channel of the GPMs and start him down the line. And it would go just enough to get him completely smeared in. And after that, you couldn't run anything on him that had words in it. In other words, it'd be a near thing. He could be fished out of this, but it would have to be very delicately done. In other words, he's gone in over his head. And that, as a PC, he's wandering around in a lost state somewhere in the reactive bank, don't you see? And now to pull him out of this with some junior process becomes a very difficult thing. That is what is wrong with R6. And that is R6's biggest problem. And that's why R6 is only being taught at St. Hill. Okay? Because when this sort of thing happens, it's quite catastrophic. Well, that was happening here for a while, and I always run a very heavy pilot right where I can straighten it out, right up close, before I let any dynamite package like this go out very far. And that's why it's only being caught at St. Hill. It is solved now, however, but it's an intricate level, and it can get so much good that we just know very well somebody, if it was released too broadly, who should be being trained at level 0, don't you see, why somebody would be ambitiously for a quick buck or something like that, trying to audit or train him at level 6. And we already have an example of somebody who's running a group someplace or another, and he had them all on level 6, you know, what he thought was level 6. And we had another thing of a guy bringing somebody on and audited him for a short time, and then a perfectly green PC, turning him loose with an E-meter to run level 6 on himself. Well, course, the guy just had one long parade catastrophes. I don't know that anybody died as a result of it, but could easily have happened. So anyway, this was an important step to find some way to put somebody into level six and get him accustomed to solo audit and find out whether or not he could take it without actually getting him into the middle of the reactive bank so that he couldn't be rescued. And that process is R6EW, so you're going to see that around for a long time. And that is your bridge process. It's quite an amusing process, and that you have cognitions like mad. But you finally get up to a point when you run through R6EWS in sixes, and when you start getting the track plotted out, I got the bulk of the track all in sequence. What will happen is, I'll tell you now the course of action. You get to a point finally where you don't have to audit it to find out what it is. See? I mean, you get loose enough on things. I was very interested. Not an hour ago, I felt cold, you know, and I was just hurrying around trying to get some things done. I just felt cold. I was wondering why I felt cold. And I just took a look. There were about 16 end words lying on it. And I said, well, what do you know? That's an awful lot of end words. I didn't bother to go over them. Don't you think? I said, oh, look at that man. You know, not even audited, you know. I feel cold. Well, what's wrong? Oh, well, look at that mess of end words. You know, so it's those 16 end words. I didn't think anything more about it, went on for another minute or so and said, oh, I've been trying to solve the problem of one of these end words. Another end word entirely on which all the remaining 16 were serving as locks. In other words, GPMs operating as locks on GPMs. Anyway, from that one could extrapolate rather easily that when a poor condition, let's say you didn't run out the bank. When you found yourself in a poor condition, if you went on with an elementary process like R6EW, carried it up to R6EWS, carried it up to R6EWP, you would very shortly find yourself in a position where it would be by inspection of the same nature as, but I got a problem. You know, you have a problem. You just know you've got a problem. The car won't start, so you know you have a problem. Well, you don't consider that auditing. Well, your bank becomes sufficiently confrontable, and you're up to a point where it is no more worry than this. And it's a little bit weird to me to look back at a year ago when I could collide crosswise with a couple of GPMs that were, get them wrong or something like this, and practically get the top of my head torn off or come down with a high fever or something of this sort. You know? An absolute catastrophe. You see, now that compares with stomach feels cold. About 16 inwards have gotten piled up there. Well, how do you know? I can go on doing what I'm doing. Oh, well, they're all surgeons locked on that anywhere. What do you know? I'm going with what I'm doing, but not feeling cold. It's a bit of a different look, isn't it? Because originally it was a basis of, we better not fool with that because that's too close a lock on a GPM. Okay. So your confront on these things comes right on up, and the extrapolated, that is the predicted course of action, or the predicted change of condition and so forth, does take place. These things become more and more confrontable, you're more and more able to handle. And you get up to a point of where they're not worrying you, they're not worrying you to the degree that you look through and see the other side of the fence. You know? And so these one, the condition is attainable. An end product of OT is attainable. That becomes quite obvious on a practical basis. And the other thing is, weirdly enough, is attainable with the processes you've got in R60W, R60WS, and R60WP, regardless of running the whole GPM. See, that's the other predictive condition. In other words, you can get to a point where you get to the point where the bank was so thin it's just blowing. I mean, inspection blows it. Not inspection of it is it the right word and does it fit in the right place, but you just notice it and it blows. Don't you understand? I mean, the thing has got that much, it's that weakened in command value. The command value has become so weak as far as you're concerned that it can't concern you. And its aberrity value, of course, is proportionately weak. And in addition to that, why, its ability to do anything to physically is proportionately weakened. I mean, you're becoming cause over a thing which before you were the total effect of. You see that happening while you're running R60W, R60WS, and so on. Very probable that you will ever really have to run, or future auditors in training and so forth will have to run R6EWS or R6EWP. Because what we'll do is we'll find out if the guy's all right at R6EW, you see. Can he make it go? And can he solo audit? And is he okay? And then we'll just start opening up sections of the cabinet and showing the plot from the top down, all very accurately done. Because the probability, by the way, of his colliding with the accurate plot is so negligible as to be neglectable. That's a weird thing to say, isn't it? But it's true. See, I've had people giving me what they thought the plot was here for about a year. And they're pretty wrong. You probably could attain all this, however, by running, if you ran it long enough. This is a long route. R60W, R60WF, R60WP, you probably could attain the final blowing of the bank. That's a long route. So now you're looking at a couple of years of auditing, something like that. Not very intensive auditing, a couple of years of the kind of auditing you get when you're not at St. Hill. You know, now and then sort of a thing. Session a week, maybe, if you're lucky or something like that. Well, it'd still take you a couple of years to do this all the way. Whereas you're really looking at, in terms of running time and so forth, you're looking at about 3 months of auditing to a total clean OT. About 3 months of hammer and tongs auditing to go on up the line to total OT. And when you get up to total OT, you find yourself still in this universe. Well, you're cause over matter, energy, space, and time. That's absolutely true. Perfect definition. You're cause over it in this universe. And your causation is not anything absolute. It's because you've still got eight dynamics. And if you notice that there are seven dynamics flanking the sixth dynamic. So level 7, in actual fact, is an odd way to number it, because you say it should be level 8 if there are 8 dynamics in connection with it. Very possibly true, but in actual fact, you'll find out that you're only really handling 7 of them. You pretty well got the other one squared away, but the rest of it, it's the mesh universe. You got a bank, don't you think? You got a reactive bank. And what happens when you haven't got a reactive bank? Well, we've never assumed otherwise than that a person would be in the physical universe with no reactive bank. That's perfectly accurate. See, what happens then? Well, his next bank, of course, is the physical universe. That is the next bank. The universe of trolley cars and buses and brick walls and Everest. What's that? Well, that's a bank. You could describe it as such, and it is as such. I notice nobody gets out of it. I notice they can even kick the bucket and they're right back in the bank again. Every once in a while, science fiction boys will worry about other universes and moving around in various universes, particularly after they've read Dianetics and Scientology. textbook. And, but fractionally, even Wells and so forth was running into. He never considered he would get outside the physical universe. It's only occasionally that some science fiction writer mentioned going into another universe. They speak then, that is sort of this universe, but there is a this universe with a time warp in it, you know? Or a space warp, or it's this universe with A. Well, they're off the string to the degree that it's not. You don't go from this universe to another universe. So you don't have to, you don't move into another universe because you moved out of this universe, you see? It's a very hard situation to grasp. So you can feel your brains creep when you're trying to grasp the thing originally. It was what was happening to me in trying to cognize on this thing. What was this all about? Well, you don't have to have a bank. You see, you put it in this category. You don't have to have a bank. You don't have to every time you have some thought that you shouldn't have or something of the sort get clobbered in the back of the neck with a somatic or something like this. You don't have to have a bank. You'd be perfectly comfortable without one, and you can think much better than a bank can, I assure you. Particularly when you finally find out to your horror what is in the bank and what the basic motivation of man is. To incredible forbearance. It's all backwards to anything anybody would think. Satan is basically good, so he made a bad bank because everybody else was bad. And then if we all had this bad bank, then we wouldn't do all these bad things. Crazy. So this bad bank proposition, well, a person would be much better off if he didn't have the bank, and that's quite obvious, even on a short-term look. A fellow runs part of his bank out, and he can now start functioning better. You know? He doesn't have asthma anymore. And he can think, and he doesn't get the jitters and start screaming just because a girl with nylon stockings walks through the room, you know, something like that. So he's getting along much better, and he's much more effective, and that sort of thing. No bank, all right? That little section of the bank's gone, so he's more effective. You see, well, by extrapolation, the whole bank's gone, he'd be terrifically effective. And true, he is. He'd never dream how effective he really is. See? Well, now, that's perfectly observable, you see, because that's finite observation. Well, if you apply the same thoughts to the mesh universe, you got it answered. A hard thing to grasp. What would you do if you didn't have a mesh universe? Mm-hmm. Well, psychiatrists and psychologists today think the same thing about a bank. What would you do if you weren't neurotic? Mm-hmm. What would I do if I weren't crazy? Well, so you can get into that same state of mind about a reactive bank that everybody is in about the physical universe. What would I do without it? What would you do without one? What the hell have you got one for? What you got to have a road for? You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, you got to have a road for it. You can walk on it, you can drive on it, and even a very useful road, and it's a very nice road, and it's a very nice thing to have a road. Yeah, it's a very nice thing to have a road, but I don't really know why you have to have a road if all you have to do is have a road. You get the point. That seems to be much more interestingly direct. It seems to be you get in lots more interesting games in very peculiar ways. If all you had to do to have a road was have a road. Road. No? See a traffic cop running on your road?
No.
You talk about a random. Life would become very, very, very interesting. A guy would have to be in complete apathy to want things as dull as having a universe all laid out, predictable all the time. Every time you look at your watch, if five minutes from the last time you looked at your watch, it's 5 minutes later. Crazy business, you know. Well, it's like a fella in a cage, just like, I guess, animals get in zoos. At 5 o'clock, the keeper is going to come and feed us, and that we have to have that. It's nice and certain. All we have to do is sit here in this cage And at 5 o'clock, the keeper will feed us. And if we weren't sitting in this cage, we wouldn't get fed at 5 o'clock. You see the logic? Well, that's actually the logic that a Thetan uses to account for the meshed universe and so forth. And he's just security happy. He's got to have security. He's in complete apathy about being able to do anything himself, so he's got to have all his total security. The least randomity drives him out of his mind. Well, to give you an idea, what would happen if the sun started moving backwards? Without any geological cataclysm, but if just all of a sudden you woke up one morning, the sun was over in the west, and it was traveling to the east. Or it got to noon and went into a spiral for a while. Do you realize what would happen out here in the streets? You envision the streets of London while that was going on. Boy, would the Catholic Church make money. You can predict that, too. But now that's, everybody go frantic. Why would they go so frantic? Well, because it's destroyed their certainty and their predictability. Why they got to have this much predictability? Why shouldn't the sun move to 10 o'clock and stay there till August? Hey, Bill, you forgot to move the sun. Hey, that's your hat. No, it isn't. We changed hats last Tuesday. We did not. Yes, we did. You forgot to fill up the ocean. Hey, who's responsible for mocking up the ocean here this week? Oh, we don't need any ocean. We had to have a desert scene. The only place we could find for it was the middle of the Pacific Ocean. What Pacific Ocean? Physical universe Pacific Ocean. Oh, you want to look at the physical universe Pacific Ocean? Well, all right, go take a look at the physical universe Pacific Ocean. I can't. I've run it out. I'm not crazy like that anymore. And then you say, well, what happened to it? If everybody else has got it mocked up, why, what happened to it? The truth of the matter is, it never was there, it never is there, and it never will be there. Just everybody's got it there. So the end product of things looks something along in that view, don't you see? You can have it. You can have it. You can have it. You can go on seeing it and that sort of thing. And you can undoubtedly vary it or alter it to a considerable marked degree. But when you think of varying and altering, don't just think of the physical universe. If you're going to vary and alter mess, why have you got to pick on the mess of the physical universe to vary it and alter, and vary and alter your own mess? Joe and Bill have got a piece of mess, so they vary it and alter it. I don't see why they have to vary and alter Gibraltar. They could vary and alter Gibraltar. You see, at the same time. And it'd get varied and altered for other people. It'd get varied for people to the degree that they were aberrated by it. To the degree they were overwhelmed by the bank. You wonder why 8C works. Well, oddly enough, 8C, of course, is a cousin not to level 6. But is a cousin to level 7. And you wonder why people suddenly have leaped out of hospital beds on having read Dianetics Evolution of a Science or something of that sort. You were chewing out some little piece that they had in disarray at level 7, not at level 6. And then the reason you got gains on your subjective processes and so forth is because you were doing things to level 6. So, you remember, for years and years and years, we've had subjective and objective. Well, subjective, of course, level 7 is also subjective to the degree that it is your bank, don't you think? But we'll get over that because you have to do a weird little trick of logic to get that thing squared out. No, the situation is simply that subjective processes, or think or figure processes, or processes like, for any of your repetitive processes, they are see straight wire. See? They were influencing level 6, and they were taking locks off level 6. You follow? They were straightening out the mental, purely mental masses. And so, therefore, they were keying out bits of the reactive mind, and that's what a subjective process was. And then an objective process was a level 7 process that familiarized and accustomed a person to his, the next universe bank, his other bank. And that's why you would very often find somebody that you could run and run and run and run and run, and they wouldn't have a single comm lag on level, on 8C. You know, they could just run, and you say, walk over that wall, and all, and touch that wall. The guy does it. When you finish up, he's no better. I know, it was seldom this happened, but it did happen every once in a while. You'd get one PC out of about 10 or 15 in HGC, that you'd run them on 8C, and we explained it on the basis you couldn't develop a comm lag, so the process was too high for them. How absolutely correct. We were trying to run them on a level 7 process. That was the harmonic, the lower harmonic of level 7. We're making them touch walls, don't you see? And we were actually putting the universe back. And, you know, there are people around who had walls right up against their faces and all kinds of weird, because, of course, nobody really knows how the next universe looks to anybody else. And the people who had different universes, they've got them in insane asylums all the time. There's not necessarily something subjectively wrong with them at all. That's objectively wrong with them. It isn't because their mind is giving them a wrong ground. Don't you think? Their mind isn't giving them anything. Their mind, as we would think of it or know it, and that sort of thing would be level 6. There's nothing wrong with their mind. There's something wrong with their environment. They just merely got an aberrated 7. They didn't have to be aberrated at 6 at all. See, this guy's got it fixed up so that all walls are 45-degree angles. Now, he could even have it aberrated objectively to the point where he was dealing with some when knighthoods were in flower time warp, so dragons keep walking in through the front door. Well, dragons might walk in through the front door. They might even bite him. Maybe not. You see, we've described it as delusion. Well, that says there's something wrong with his mind in here. See, an introverted error. No, it's an extroverted error. It isn't in here that's wrong. It's there that's wrong. Okay? Although he's influencing that, of course, and so forth. But dragons keep walking in that door, man. You try to tell one of these fellows, there's no bugs on you. The truth of the matter is, there is no bugs on the patient in the psychiatrist's view of level 7. But in the patient's view of level 7, there are bugs on the patient. So something's gone wrong with 7. So if you can make the guy merely pay attention to what he is calling and mocking up the physical universe, locational processing, 8C, where is the indicated object, such things as that, you find some remarkable things happen. You can also do this odd thing. You think you're running problems and you're not. You say, well, let's spot all the places where this fellow is having any trouble in his life, and let's just have him sort of indicate where they are. You're not handling his level 6 difficulty with problems. What you're handling is, you're handling his level 7 difficulty with locations. It's not the GPMs that have got him going. You follow me? He hasn't got the Buy the Wee Biscuit Factory 4 or 5 miles over that way, where it belongs, He's in the Bidawi biscuit factory while you are trying to audit him. And probably your voice sounds peculiar to him, too, because trying to audit across a distance, 4 or 5 miles, you know, children, you say, get the child into the classroom. Well, some of those children are actually still outside playing. Not anybody thinks they're outside playing. You see, the world which they have the viewpoint, they don't have to be out there playing. You've got the idea. They are where they are, but they are outside playing because that's where they are, although they are sitting in front of you and you're talking to them. You get the idea. Well, they've got, in essence, an aberration on the seventh. Because of great desire to be outside, they actually put outside where they are, but not really put it there, don't you see? But they don't put where they are there because they don't want to be there, don't you see? Well, they're not putting up a seventh dynamic. What the hell are you going to do with them? If you read on the meter that they were outside playing, but that's what they've got out there, but they really don't dare mock it up very boldly. You see, you're allowed to see it too. All kinds of, you see how this gets pretty weird when you start trying to pick your way through it in relative to relation to. So the child, we said we had to get the child into the classroom before we could teach him. So therefore, locational processes or something like that were very good. Now, it was level 6 which ruined creative processing, because creative processing really, although it touched 6 slightly and would have alleviated 6 slightly, creative processing in actual fact affected level 7. It's the exercise by which he was actually putting up the physical universe. And that was all creative processing. And when you could get that working on somebody, it worked like a bomb. But what was wrong with it and why it got booby-trapped, the step 6 effect, to call it. What happened was his bank would start getting more solid. Well, he actually, because the bank GPMs is full of the word create, strung from one end to the other, don't you think? His reactive mind would get in the road of his making the physical universe, you see? And you couldn't run the process because he was addressing it at level 6, and it wouldn't work unless it were addressed at level 7, don't you see? So level 6 booty traps level 7 and keeps it from operating. So therefore, creative processing. I've had auditors tell me, why did you ever come off there? I had wonderful results with it, you know. This and that and the other thing and so forth. Well, all he had to see was one guy go green when his bank started to get totally solid. To say, well, if that happened, 1 PC out of 100, that would be too many times. So therefore, it's a very dangerous process. The devil with it, don't you think? At the time it was released, I hadn't run into that 100th guy, don't you think? Although I had enough cases to make it look perfectly all right, and ran all right on me, and ran all right on anybody I audited, and then all of a sudden it started colliding with the person it didn't run all right on. He was about 1 out of 100 or something like that, see? So we found this stray, so right away where we threw it away and didn't use it anymore and so forth, but it will make it clear. Well, one of the reasons it'll make it clear is because it moves sort of keys out 6. And puts a person more solidly in 7, and he finds himself in a somewhat apparently clear state in the physical universe. That's the apparency. Because what you've done is really straighten out the physical universe for him, and it wasn't straightening out his mind at all. It was straightening out his view of the physical universe was what was being straightened out. It was not then a mental exercise. It was a straightforward Thetan exercise which corrected the out-of-controlness of his making the physical universe. See, this was so badly out of control and so aberrated and so far adrift, so messed up, that he could no longer mock himself up a good physical universe. The walls came in on him, you know. And so you give him some practice in mocking things up. And where it worked, it was impinging on the fact that he was moving the physical universe, getting rid of that automaticity to the degree that it would stabilize into his basic automaticity of making it. And you get rid of just his the aberrated nature, the aberrated, the degree that he was aberrated on the subject of being aberrated. You follow that? In other words, he's already aberrated so that he was obsessively making a physical universe, and then this had inverted, that word we use occasionally, which means that that aberration had become in its turn aberrated. You follow? So he no longer could do a clean job of this. Then when you gave him a little practice in mocking things up, or a lot of practice in mocking things up, you take the aberration off the basic aberration. The basic aberration, therefore, stayed the way it was, and he felt fine. So you take him... He's still crazy, but now he was happy to be crazy. Yeah, that's a good comparison. The guy was unhappy about being crazy, and with a little exercise of creativeness, he got happy about being crazy. So everything was better. Yeah, well, that's right. This is better. I think there was even a movie on it one time called Harvey. Harvey. Big play. Guy saw a rabbit all the time. He had a very cheerful rabbit around with him all the time. And the doctor said he would get unhappy and mean if he took his rabbit away from him. They took his rabbit away from him, and he became very unhappy. Happy, crazy, and unhappy, crazy. Anyhow, So what, in essence, are you doing as you go up the process line from the lowest levels up to the highest level, a more educated look? You see, the higher you get on these sort of things, the more you know about the background. That was why, after wrapped up and knew the character nature of, all I hadn't done was to statisize it thoroughly, knew the character nature of and the processes and how you address the GPMs of the reactive fact, the core of the reactive fact, that it was tape. Well, when I got that, then I was able to go back and do from 0 to 4 with great accuracy and knock out a lot of things and so forth. Well, now having come to grips here with 7 and seen that it's there, you don't even have to have a relief front so you guys can see it and say, oh, that's there. I gotta finish 6 before I can tackle 7. It's very hard to do, by the way, and I sit down so auditing, and say, where are you going, 7? Why don't I get rid of all those icebergs? We got it. All of a sudden, I get horrible somatics, don't you see? Talk about trying to audit yourself over your head, you know. It's very intriguing, so I have to suppress it. That isn't so good either, so I run the suppression off and get on with 6. The net gain here has been to get another look and realize that there were all the time these two approaches to the bank, the subjective and the objective. The subjective process, the objective process. There were two things you could do with the bank. Just like there are two things, significance and mass. Those are the two things you address. Now you can address those things in two ways, which is kind of weird. Significance and mass, but you can handle them subjectively and you can handle them objectively. So you get the significance of mass subjective and the significance of mass objective. You say, that is a door. Well, that is the significance of mass objective. You ask some little kid, what's in the room? And they will tell you, there's a door and there's a ceiling and there's a floor and so forth. Well, that's the mass and the significance. That's an objective process. Well, what it's actually treating is the penchant that Thetan has for putting the physical universe out there. He's working on actually, I keep saying physical universe because one key in, so there's all 8 dynamics out there, not just the 6th. And when he sees flowers, don't you see? Well, he's into the 5th, and but that's out there, and it's got a significance and a mass. It's got a name, a form, an apparent purpose, a relationship to the physical universe. Well, that's its, or two other flowers, or two gardeners, or something like that. So that's its significance. And then there is the mass of the flower. And, of course, to have mass, you've got to have some space around it to separate the mass. But that's there. That is it. It isn't because something is wrong in here that makes that it. Don't you see? Any wrongness is right over there where it's it. the guy. But there is a bank in here that gives you another set of values of the wildest and craziest sorts and directions and so forth. But that has to do with behavior and specific significance and mass that has to do with the behavior and attitude. The person's behavior and attitude is what is regulated on the, by the subjective process. And his observation and, there's ability and behavior and attitude is part of ability too, but his perceivability as perception in the by and large, and whether or not he's got solid walls, and whether or not he can walk out of houses, those things depend on that other zone of aberration, which is the objective zone of aberration. And if this guy can't walk out of houses, it isn't because something is in his mind saying, I can't walk out of houses. You follow that. It isn't something in the bank that says, I can't walk out of houses. So the trouble is out there, house. It's nowhere else than where it is, in other words, is what I'm trying to say to you. The trouble with this fellow, he says, I can never leave the house. Well, then don't audit him up from a subjective process. Oddly enough, you'll run into GPMs that will account for it. There's a whole series of six that account for getting stuck in houses. After you run these, however, well, you find out that you still aren't as happy about going out and dashing around outside of houses as you'd like to be. And that's because although there's a behavior and attitude relationship to houses, there's also houses. And actually, he's lost the ability to mock up the outside of a house over there. He no longer makes the outside of a house over there. He makes the inside of a house around here. So he can't leave a house. So if you were a very clever auditor, you could add all this up in this way. Well, where do we audit this PC, subjectively or objectively? Is he crazy objectively, or is he crazy subjectively? Well, I had poltergeist, you would never dream, you know, objects, and he goes skidding around and objects fly around the room where he is. We'd never dream now, what we know now, and audit him on a subjective process. You audit him on an objective process. Well, what is an objective process? Well, there are tons of them. There were tons of them. A crossroads, by the way, is because it's so thoroughly into level six, and the reactive bank is half. So havingness ran level six and level seven simultaneously. It ran out there and in there too. And therefore, it's very workable on most people and a little bit steep for some. And some people it doesn't work on at all. And then you have to have all the special brands of havingness to try to get around it. Well, they're just not capable of, they're not capable of auditing two levels simultaneously. They're just not clever. It's too much for them, so just don't run it. That's easy. Run a pure objective or a pure subjective to straighten them out. When you get your cam squeeze going wrong, can't get a cam squeeze, we could probably correct the cam squeeze subjectively or objectively compared to whether the PC was aberrated on the subject of the physical universe because of attitude and behavior, or aberrated on the subject of the universe around him because he had an aberrated physical universe around him. Is his attitude toward the universe wrong, or has he got a wrong universe? Ah, I think I've said it a little more comprehensively. You understand, in talking to you about these things, I haven't actually had a chance to express them at all. I haven't written them up. These are your sole notes on all of this. Oh, no, that's not true. There's about eight pages of reports on the subject, but it doesn't cover what I'm telling you. It just recovers the exact, precise, crisp findings. In other words, it gives you an insight. If you know this, then this gives you this kind of an insight. PC's cam squeezes down. Well, it gives you the choice then whether you get his hand squeezed up by running off the locks of the session, which has been an introverted type session. That would get his hand squeezed up, providing his hand squeeze was down because of a subjective reason, a level 6 reason, a bank reason, a GPM reason. Okay. Suppress prep checking is totally subjective. Of course, you could prep check an exterior object, but it would have to be the object that is with you right this minute. You'd have to give the guy the typewriter or a typewriter and say, now, suppress that typewriter. You wouldn't be able to say, recall a time you have suppressed that typewriter, don't you see? You'd have to say, suppress the typewriter. Now, unsuppress it. Press it. Unsuppress it. All of a sudden, the typewriter do something. Did you move the roller of the typewriter? You couldn't say, get the idea of suppressing the typewriter, don't you think? You just have to exercise. It's very direct. You'd have to exercise the PC in relationship to the object, and you've got an objective process. I don't care how you do it. You do this with e-meters all the time. Do you ever have something funny happen while you were doing reach and withdraw from an e-meter? Well, of course, you're not very aberrated on the subject of an e-meter. But you get something around that would be really aberrative. I know, get a fire. Burn a fire. Get a fire burning. A little wood fire or something like that. And sit a PC down in front of it and exercise him on the subject of this fire. If he reach the fire, withdraw from it. What? I'm just going to run this little process. Reach the fire, withdraw from it. The hell were you? No, now, come on now. Well, how could we phrase this so that it's runnable? Well, you've given me a lose now. I wouldn't be able to run it at all. All right, well, we'll start in on this thing and regrade him. Then you get smart, don't you see? If you really know he's putting the physical universe there for himself and that is another bank, now you can get very smart. You'll say, all right, heat up the fire. Good. Cool off the fire. Good. Heat up the fire. Good. You say, how am I supposed to do that? Well, just do it. Well, I can get the idea. No. Just, you don't go. That's why you're supposed to do that. All right, if you say so. And this hasn't been done, don't you see? I've just given you straight off the cuff. These are theoretical abstractions of what might occur. Well, he does this for a while, and he gets so he goes, you know, his fire's starting to flicker. All of a sudden, he notices the fire. And you say, all right, well, because it did get a bit flat. This, by the way, will probably register on the e-meter, too, because, you know, it's the physical universe, but it'd probably be the e-meter registering back at the PC, don't you see? Not the e-meter registering through the bank. There'd be something crazy going on. I don't know exactly what we want. I know the e-meter will register on the physical universe. If PC's reaction to the physical universe probably will register on the e-meter, as well as the bank reaction, apparently. Now, your next action, you see, if you tell us, well, all right, now reach toward the fire. After a little while, you say, this is theoretical. What are you telling me to do that for? What do you mean? Why are you saying toward? Why aren't you saying reach the fire, withdrawn the fire? What's the matter? You changing the process on me? You squirrel or something? You say, all right, reach the fire. We'll draw from fire. It's totally serious. We don't say, put your hand into the fire and take your hand away from the fire. Which you very possibly, if this was well exercised, would be very possible if the fellow was he'd gone through six and was in seven. This would be a pipe. But I'm talking about a fellow that's still got some human characteristics. And he'd be reaching into the fire and withdrawing the fire and reaching into the fire and withdrawing. If you got curious, say, how can you do that? Well, he said, I never reach into a hot fire, man. I reach into a cold one. Now, just exactly what would happen if you put a thermometer in that fire, I wouldn't be prepared to tell you. I don't know if it'd only be cold for him, don't you see, if it'd be cold for everybody. That's the point. These are little points of interesting speculation, which in due course one will get adequate subjective reality on. And subjective reality is right over the hill. It's very close, too. But I myself have seen lamps moved and have seen things happen in various types of process that I never really competently understood before. I now know what it's all about. I mean, I was doing, at the time these things happened, an objective process. And of course, the spatial relationships and things change. Every now and then will be auditing the PC and find the distance to the wall has shifted. This is almost standard. Well, are they getting any good reaction out of an objective process? They're getting a good reaction out of it. I mean, they're getting any improvement out of it. They're going any place with this objective process. Well, very often they will make some remark like this, but it's something mild, and you really wouldn't be too alert because it sounds very mild when they say it. Well, the distance to the wall is greater. The room has gotten larger, and so forth. And you've heard PC say that, and you've said to yourself, well, all right, it just seems to any kind of idea of it. I never occurred to you the room had gotten larger. The room was not, as far as he was concerned, 2 feet by 3 feet. The room was now 8 feet by 10 feet. Now you could aberrate it the other way around and get the room to get too large. And something might happen there. But this, when you're going up through the levels, they are not the processes in them. This was another datum I needed in order to make a final adjustment of any processes in there, although I consider them pretty final now, the lower levels. They probably, each one, should have a little bit and a piece of an objective and a subjective. You see? We used to do this all the time, where everything was either, we had an objective and we had a subjective process for various things. We used to look out and look in. Now, this find three spots in your body, three spots in the room is oddly enough an objective process 100%. Because, of course, the mind, the reactive bank, is not in the body. Just because you're looking into the body is no reason why you're inspecting the reactive bank. The reactive bank is a thing. It's got sort of mushy-looking electronic masses. And it's got pictures and locks and other things associated with it. It is a thing. Well, the physical universe and the remaining dynamics, of course, are themselves a thing. That's what we mean when we say our universe and the other fellow's universe and everybody's universe. There were three universes, if you remember rightly. Well, that apparently is very true. There are apparently three universes, but we were speaking of a reactive bank as meaning one of those universes, whereas, as a matter of fact, that's a little bit of a curve in the line. It turns out that there was his universe. You know, his brick walls. And we're not sure right now whether or not they're his brick walls and everybody's brick walls, or only his brick walls, or exactly what's the status of these brick walls, because we're right up against the ability to disintegrate matter, all these various phenomena that a yogi has been known as a good yogi if he could, something like that. He could levitate. You know, you've heard all these tricks and nonsense pieces, and that's, I think, kid games. This is the level you're looking at. Now, exactly the extent and dimension and capability And if you do it, if it does it for everybody, and if we blow up the rock at Gibraltar, is it also blown up for Spain? Or is it only blown up for England? A lot of interesting questions get asked there. And I can't, of course, at this instant give a final, absolute, exclamatory point answer. What is the condition of this stuff and so forth? All the remaining dynamics. Ask a question like, what is a plant? Is a plant part of another Thetan? Is it somebody who is keeping his eye on something or other which keeps it growing? You know, these are all these very little interesting bric-a-brac type of questions that knock around in anybody's head. You look at all of this situation and, well, I, what do I mean by I, you see, and various questions. Well, there your seventh dynamic aspect, and the bank, as we see it, is really not part of that. They're quite distinct. There's an error in, a very small error, I like to call these things to your attention, there's an error in the early materials on level 6 that says you make, if this has been consistently stated and is now found to be incorrect. The bank is responsible for the physical universe. That is the erroneous statement. The bank is responsible for the physical universe. No. The Thetan is responsible for the physical universe. Thetan is responsible for the physical universe, then not via the reactive tank. Because he has walked up a GPN that has time in it, is not then the reason why he has time. You follow that? It doesn't occur at level 6. I had two levels together there. That occurs at level 7 and is a direct action. And the aberration itself is time. Not GPM, not time. You follow that? That's a very subtle difference. Nevertheless, the other was a little bit too broad a generality. And it had to be corrected to that degree. The aberration is time. The aberration is not having a GPM that gives you time. Yeah. It isn't because you've got a GPM that gives you mud that makes mud aberrative when you fall into it. The aberration is mud. Now, there is a state of mind and a set of agreements at level 7, which is not the GPM bank. And that state of mind keeps one fixed into the belief and keeps one that there is a physical universe. And keeps one fixed also into the belief that everybody has one bank and one universe in common. That is the fixed belief. It looks like a first cousin to a GPM, but it's not GPM, but it looks like a first cousin to it. And that is what is at level 7. It's the kinks in the Thetan that bring about his belief in the oneness of everything and that kind of thing. So anyhow, it's all very fascinating. And you should distinguish between an objective, then, and a subjective process. And at any lower level, you could actually get clever enough to choose which one to run on the PC on the basis of what you've observed in the PC. This PC's car is a wreck. Well, we used to say if you straightened out various things, his car would be less of a wreck. Well, there's a more direct way you could do that. His approach to the world called car is a seventh dynamic thing, and therefore if you did an objective process, it would straighten out faster, and you don't have to worry about the think. You don't even have to worry about his... If you see, the physical universe is not an experiential line, and level 7 doesn't include the experiential line. You now just escaped engrams and experience and that sort of thing. They're not there. These experience, you see, one of the things you're stepping out of when you go from level 6 to level 7 is you step totally out of the aberration because of past experience. That's gone, isn't it? The aberration doesn't stay there because you've had the past experience. The past might be there, but the aberration won't be there. You understand? So the basis, the whole idea, I know this strange thing, there'd no longer be a basic to anything, or anything like that, because it wouldn't be a basic experience. You'd have to trace forward, like the first time you made any mess. That would not be the thing. Actually, the fact that you had made mess at some prior moment and so forth would have no bearing on your having mess now. The whole build-up and the compounded nature of aberration vanishes at level 6. You're no longer dealing with that at level 7. Experience now will mean nothing. So you were in a train wreck yesterday, so what? It doesn't influence your condition today because you were in a train wreck yesterday before. You're not aberrated because your mother was mean to you anymore, don't you think? The whole aspect of that, as a matter of fact, at that point, it appears to be that I would predict that it would be rather hard to grasp how you could figure it out so that you could now be aberrated because then it had something happening. And yet that is the primary aberration that a person is facing all the time because of level 6. I am the way I am because they dropped an atom bomb on my foot one day. Of course, that sounds perfectly logical to a human, but it would sound very illogical at level 6. You're in bad shape because something happened. Why? Boy, how you connecting things up like that? You crazy or something? You say you feel tired because you didn't have any sleep last night. Figure this out. You feel tired because you didn't have any sleep last night. Oh, I get it. When do you feel tired? Oh, you feel tired now. Oh, I don't understand that. I can understand how you could feel tired last night. You know, it's last night and you're feeling tired. Okay, that's a good game. You're right. As we talk, you're last night feeling tired. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, that's very simple. I don't know why you're doing it. The exercising or something? Of course, it's up to you. You say that isn't what you're doing. You feel tired now because you were up late last night. How the hell are you doing that? Let's see. See, you must be living in broadened time. Is that what it is? Quite a game here. Broadened time. Boy, you're going to get confused if you do that. I wouldn't do that if I were you. Now, actually, from a rather sane viewpoint, that is more or less how it would look from level 7. When you try to make sense out of what is humanoid obviousness, it doesn't make sense anymore. Maybe you may have run across the materials from the Lord knows how long ago, or you might have been there at the time. But during the period when I used to tell you, you couldn't be right and be human, impossible to be right and be human. And that's absolutely true. It becomes incredible from a viewpoint of that upper level. You couldn't be... If you were right to that degree, you would be at the upper level. You wouldn't be human. But to the amount of error that human obviousness looks like from these points of view, it's just a brain cracker. absolute brain cracker. I could bend my own wits around and see how it would look. It looks silly. I already had a ball. I was going down the line, adding this up, bangity, 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 bang. And I was looking right straight at it, you know, and I was trying to keep my hair from standing on end and a few things like that, and just doing a competent job of observer, don't you see, what you're after. You can't go off and get a lot of case run while you're doing this. What ruins a lot of people in research is they get case advances. They don't maintain an objective viewpoint. They maintain an aberrated or subjective viewpoint. And it was quite interesting. I could see which way that was going. And boy, you know, I had to drag myself away from that session with a scruff of the neck, or I would have gone right back and started rubbing this stuff up and probably cut my head off and had the ship sunk in the middle of the high seas. And Lord knows what all would have happened. But I had to lay aside quietly and come home like a good boy. I'll have at it. No, I'm going to be a very good boy. I'm going to go ahead and finish the plot of the GPM, because I've been taught by experience that it's very likely to be turned out very accurately for a long period of time. So I better go ahead and finish that total plot up and then run them all like a good boy. And it's a lot of it's done right now. I've got a stack of cards about that, huh? And then go on back on up to level 7 in an orderly progress. In other words, I will do exactly what I am advising everybody to do in general. So it's a matter of record here that Ron has for once taken his own advice. In other words, do as I do as well as I say. So anyhow, that's about the extent of it. It shows that there's we're approaching, just to be unemotional about it and so forth, the point of all of the conundrums and all of this sort of thing. And they become very objectively shaken out. You don't have to be informed of them. They just shake out. You get uncrazy on the subject of them. And that's a very good thing. But it doesn't mean that you're not interested in participating and so forth. You get more excited, you know, more pleasure out of existence because it isn't kicking you in the head. And yet, I don't know, I've probably got 9/10 of the blank in place in all of the physical universe sitting there staring at me. When I walk out that door, I'm going to have to take hold of the knob. So thank you very much.